Morning. Today's daf and brachos chafei. We are in Chaf Dalmud Beis. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Avuhu, Amar Rav Yochanan. It's two lines down from where the lines start getting wide.
Right.
Bathroom talk. The Gemara is engaged in bathroom talk and will continue to be engaged in bathroom talk for the remainder of today's daf. Today's daf happens to have a lot of words in it, so I will speak a little quicker today. I apologize for doing so. The Gemara starts off, Amar Avuhu, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yimalach min Mavos HaMetunafo. So you're walking through an alley, and it's a dirty alley, and it smells bad, and there's a whole bunch of waste matter in the alley. So and you want to say Shema, so what do you do? Miniach Yadu Al Piva Kor Kriya Shema. So according to Rav Huna, quoting Rav Yochanan, so you put your hand over your mouth, and you say the Shema while your hand is over your mouth. Now, it's not exactly clear how exactly that's going to help you. In other words, you're not pinching your nose, you're not holding yourself from the smell, but it's a layer of a hefsek that you're creating, and you're only walking through anyway. You're not stopped. You didn't stop there in the mavos hamatunafos. So Amalei Rav Chista Alokim. So Rav Chista reacts to this, and he says, "My God, im Amrli Rav Yochanan bepume loy tzitzin lei." Listen, if I heard this from Rav Yochanan himself, I wouldn't listen. Meaning, it's another way of saying that I really don't believe Rav Yochanan said this, or I just simply disagree. Either way, Igadami. Now, in a slightly different version of this back and forth, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So over here in the second version, it's said over the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and the Amoru saying it is Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, but it's going to be the same point. So again, it's the same statement. You put your mouth over your, you put your hand over your mouth, and you're going to say Kriya Shema. Amalei Rav Chista Alokim, Amalei Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bepumi Lo Tzitzin Alei. And again, now here, the Rav Chista is reacting, and Rav Chista says, it was the same Rav Chista. That's the one thing that's the same over here in the second version. Look, even if I heard it directly from Rav Yeshua ben Levi, I wouldn't listen to him. Umi Amar Rav Huna, Hachiva Amar Rav Huna. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Rav Huna, who in the first version was the one quoting Rav Yochanan, so the Gemara says we have another statement by Rav Huna, and that is Tamach Chacham Aser Lo Lamod BeMakam Atinofos Lefishi Efshar Lo Lamod Below Hira Torah. A Tamach Chacham is not allowed to stand in a Makam Atinofos, in a dirty area, in a foul smelling area. Because it's going to be impossible for him not to think about Torah. Meaning a Talmud Chacham is always engaged in the study of Torah and always thinking about Torah. And by him positioning himself and stationing himself in the Makom HaTinofos, it's not going to be good. So Lo Kasha Kam Ba'Omei Kam Ba'Mahalach. So the Gemara's Chiluk, which is kind of built in. If you look at both statements, you'll see. The answer was already encoded in the both of the memros. So there's a difference between Mahalach and Omeid. If you're walking through, so you're walking through. In other words, you're not going to stand here. And so therefore, certain allowances are given. And that is, you could say the Shema. And you can learn Torah. And you're walking through a Makom HaTinofos. You're just passing through. And you're going to put your hand by your mouth. And again, somehow that creates some sort of hefsek or whatever. However to explain it. But if you're Omeid, so then that's no good. Because once you're Omeid, so now you're stationary, you're positioned there. And we're going to make such a distinction. And the Gemara says we have to contend with another statement that was made by Rav Yochanan. And that is, so you're allowed to think about Torah except for the shvitz and except for the bathroom. So the Gemara says, okay, but we already have a distinction to work with. And the distinction to be made between Omeid and Mahalach, Eni, the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's true over here. So Rabbi Abba was following behind Rav Yochanan, v'hava kakari kriya shma. And now he got to kriya shma. Kimata ben mavos matunafos. Now they're walking together and they're walking through a dirty alleyway. And ishtik. And now he was quiet. Meaning he stopped saying shma. So Amalei Rav Yochanan lehecha hader. Now, Rabbi Abba, after having stopped saying Shema, turns to Rav Yochanan and says, okay, no. I had to stop saying Shema because we were walking through a dirty alleyway. Okay, but now I want to resume. Where do I pick it up from? So Amalei, Imshayitka de Ligmar's Kula, Chozel Rosh. So this is already the psak that we're used to hearing. We heard this already a couple times in our Masechta. Well, if the amount of time that you pause is the total amount of time that it takes you to say Shema from beginning to end, so that is a significant hefsek, and you have to go back to the beginning. So the issue is, the problem the Gemara has now is, why is Rav Yochanan even entertaining the question? Meaning, if you would have asked Rav Yochanan, can I say Shema right now? We're being mahalech, we're walking through the Makom HaTinofos. And Rav Yochanan would have said, well, don't stop. In other words, keep saying it. And meanwhile, Rabbi Abba stops saying Shema, and Rav Yochanan now is entertaining the Shaila of where he should go back to. To which the Gemara's answer is basically, He never asked Rav Yochanan the first question. Hachi kamar lei, lididi lo svir lei. So Rav Yochanan's answer incorporates two points. One, I didn't tell you to stop. And if you would have asked me, I would have said, we're mehalech, we're walking through, and there's no need to stop. And lididcha desfir lididcha desfir slacha. Now, according to you, who you think we should stop of saying Shema, so fine. So now I'll answer your question based on your position. Im shaske deligmar skula chozel arosh. Okay. So if your pause was long enough where it took you the entire, it would have taken you the entire time to say Shema from beginning to end. So now that's a significant hapstick. You have to go back to the beginning. Tanya Kavasi the Rav Huna
didn't say Shema. If it was this month Shema.
So it could be the Rav Yochanan. Could be Rav Yochanan already said it. Could be. Tanya Kavasi the Rav Huna. Tanya Kavasi the Rav Chista. We have Bryce supporting Rav Huna and Rav Chista again. Rav Huna's position is that when you're walking through a Mavos, a Tanofos, you just put your hand over your mouth and you continue saying the Shema. Rav Chista disagreed. And the Gemara now says, this Machlokas Amarayim, already we see it amongst the Tanayim. So, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Huna, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Chista, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Huna, Mahalach Bamos, Matanofos, Minich Gedo Apiva Ikar Kriya Shema. Okay, self-explanatory. The Bryce says it exactly like Rav Huna says it. Again, Rav Huna was quoting Rav Yochanan. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Chista, Ayim Alach Mavos, Matanofos, Lo Ikar Kriya Shema. And this Bryce says that you don't read Kriya Shema, even though you're walking. So you have to stop. You have to stop saying Shema. So lo pasuk mai. Now what if you didn't say stop saying Shema? Now again, the Gemara is asking within the second brisa, which is an agreement with the opinion of Rav Chista. So now what's the halacha if you don't stop? So what's the halacha? What's the way to describe such an individual? Meaning the halacha is you should have stopped. So Amar Rav Meisha bar Berei, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Alav Akasav Amar, V'gam Ani Nasati Lehem Chukim Lo Tovim, U'Mishpatim Lo Yichyu Bahem. So the Gemara has a couple of psukim that are basically condemning the individual for doing so. It's a censor of the Torah. In this case, the Navi. So the Gemara first quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel, and that is that Lo Yichyu Bahem, you're not going to live. Practicing the Torah in such a manner where you're saying over the Torah in Makom Matinofos. Rav Asi Amar Hoy Moshchei Ha'Oven Bechevle Hashav. And the Rav Asi quotes a different pasuk. He quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu. And the way it's understood explains Rashi as follows. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Bechevle Hashav Bechavalim She'inim Chazakim. We're talking about ropes that aren't strong. Ela Nochim Lihinatek. They could break very easily. And this person over here, he's not doing anything terribly wrong. In fact, he's saying Torah. And nevertheless, over the speech that he does, he's going to have to answer for the speech in which he does, because although the speech is appropriate, the makam is not appropriate. And so therefore, for such an individual, he should have stopped. Okay, so we have two brises going in both directions, one like Rav Huna, and the other is going like Rav Chista. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna. We are on the bottom of the Amud. Okay, topic that we brought up yesterday, and we are going to bring up again today. Haisa Taliso Chagur Alo Amasnav Mutal Kos Kriyashma. So you have a talis and it's wrapped around your loins. So in other words, basically you have something. We can call them pants. Okay, but. Okay, whatever they had back in the day. Back in the day, they didn't have pants. We saw this in the Gemara Nida, if you remember. Anyway, whatever it was, they had something wrapped around their lower half of the body. So mutal kros kriya shma, so you can read kriya shma. Your upper body is not covered. Okay, in other words, for kriya shma, that's efficient. And we have a brisa saying the exact same point. Doesn't matter what's covering the lower half of your body, as long as the lower half of your body is covered. Now, when it comes to tefillah, so then you have to have your heart covered. Now, your heart covered, what does that mean? So Rashi, on the very top of the Amud, he writes, I'm reading the Rashi. You see, when you're saying Kriya Shema, you're not dialoguing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're not talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shema is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Kriya. So fine. And there, the basic minimum requirements in terms of coverage of your body is that your erva has to be covered, and there has to be separation. Separation of your heart and your erva, separation of your head and your erva, that's fine. However, when it comes to davening, so as Rashi points out over here, you're omed lifnei hamelech. Now you're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're speaking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'lamod be'ima. Aval kriya shma inam adabe lifnei ha-melech. Right? What are you, so does the Rashi, in terms of the difference between Shema and Shmona Esrei. Shema is kriya. Shmona Esrei is dibur lifnei ha-melech. And so therefore, you have to be covered when it comes to Shmona Esrei. I'm Rav Huna, we're on the top of Chafeyamad Aleph. Shachach v'nichnas b'tfilin le'beis ha-kisei. We come back to the bathroom and tefillin. A big part of yesterday's Gemara. The Gemara spent a considerable amount of time yesterday talking about the proper conduct of the bathroom and your tefillin. And not only yesterday's daf, but we can go back 2 days ago as well. What do you do when you have the need to go to the bathroom and your tefillin are on? So you take off your tefillin, as we learned back on daf Chav Gimel. And what should you do once your tefillin are off? So remember, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Eventually, the Gemara concluded that Lefi Shitas Beis Hillel, you're actually going to hold them in your hand because you want to give them proper shmirah. Okay, that all is what we did back on Daf Chav Gimel. So this is almost like an epilogue to that Gemara. The Gemara now wants to know, what if you walk into the bathroom and shachach, you forgot, you simply forgot. And you had your tefillin on, your tefillin is still on. So shachach v'nichnas b'tefillin le'beis ha-kisei v'nichnas yadu aleihem, ashik mor. So what you should do is you should put your hand over the tefillin. It's kind of like we just saw moments earlier regarding put your hand over your mouth. Put your hand over the tefillin until you finish going to the bathroom. Ashik mor sakadacha. So the Gemara says, really, that long? So Ella kedamer of Nachma Yitzchak ashik mor amud rishon. What it means is as follows, is that after having relieved yourself and that first discharge, that first issue of relief, now what you should do is you should walk out of the bathroom, obviously take off your tefillin, and if you need to go more, so you go more. So Achi, that is the proper conduct at this juncture. So the Gemara says, v'lifzok la'alter, v'leikum. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You're in the bathroom, your tefillin are on, and right now, even though you started going, so isn't the appropriate behavior should basically just stop going? And that means even though you're in midstream, but just stop yourself, force yourself to stop, and then run out of the bathroom, take off your tefillin, and then continue to go back in. So the Gemara asked that very question. V'lifzok la'alter v'leikum. So the Gemara says, Mishum de Rishim and Gamliel. The Gemara says, yeah, but this is a Sakana issue. D'Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rishim and Gamliel, Omer, Amor Chozer, Mevias Adam Lidehi Drakon. If you have a movement and you try to hold it back, so that leads a person to hidrakon. Hidrakon, some sort of swelling, and silon hachozer, and if you already started urinating, and at that point in time you try to stop in the middle of your urination, maybe it's adam lide yurakon. So that leads to some other type of illness, we can call it jaundice. Okay, the point is that that's a sakana. That's a sakana, and so therefore the Chachamim are not going to require you to do something that would bring about a sakana to yourself. And that is why you wait until the Amud HaRishon, until the first flow stops, the first stream stops, and now you're at a natural moment to pause. Now you can go out and take off your tefillin, and then come back in and, if need be, finish up your bathroom experience. We are in Chafei Amud Aleph at the two dots. It Martzora Basaro. O Yado Muneches Bebeis HaKisei. The Gemara now is going to be discussing a lot today over the cleanliness requirement when saying Shema and when davening. And so the Gemara over here is going to be incredibly graphic regarding bathroom waste product, waste material. It will be very detailed. But the idea, the basic objective of the Gemara in the course of today's daf is that you have to be in a state of cleanliness when you're davening, when you're saying Shema. Okay. So it martzoa basaro o al yado muneches beveis akisa. The Gemara over here discussed two scenarios where you either have excrement on your hand or anywhere on your body, or your hand happens to currently be in the bathroom. So is that going to impede you from being able to say Shema? Now it would seem pretty clear to say over here that we're talking about where there is no current smell that's coming off of that. Yeah, if there's a smell, tefillin over here is not really the issue, but yeah, I hear you. But if there is a smell, so then that's something obviously you have to take into consideration. Presumably there's no smell. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar Mutar Kos Kriya Shema, Rav Chista Amar Asur Kos Kriya Shema. And so we have a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. By the way, you'll see a lot today. We already saw before Rav Huna and Rav Chista debating on these very issues, and more of that coming up, in fact, right now. So Rav Huna is of the position that you are allowed to say Shema, and Rav Chista says, Asur Kos Kriya Shema. Amar Rav Maitama de Rav Huna, and the Gemara now is going to give reasons behind the Amorayim, later Amorayim. So Rav says, I'll give you the reason behind Rav Huna and which why he's Mako. The Pasuk says, Dechsiv kol neshama tahalal ka. So the Pasuk says that the neshama is tahalal ka. And what is that Pasuk telling us? Look at Rashi, kol neshama, hapeh, v'hachotam, b'chlal hahilo, v'lo shar ivarim. So what's actively participating in the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that's your mouth, that's your nose. In other words, the parts of your body that produce sound. That is creating the hillel. That's creating the praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, if you have a tzawan, another part of your body, and again, I will assume over here that there's no smell. It just happens to be that there's a piece of tzawa. So then that would be fine. Then it would not be a violation of saying the hillel. Rav Chista Amar Asa L'Kosh Kriyash Ma'am Ma'itam Rav Chista Zisiv Kol Atzmasani Tamarna Hashem Michamocha. And as far as an explanation of Rav Chista's position is concerned, so we have another pasuk in Tehillim. And Kol Atzmosai. And all of my body parts are Tamarna Hashem Michamocha. So that means that even though obviously the speech is coming out of my mouth, but my entire body has to be in a state of cleanliness and preparation in order for me to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore there can be no Tzoa on any part of my body, and nor can my hand be in a makom hatinof, can be in the bathroom. Itmar the Gemara brings down Reach Rashi Yeshlo Iker. If let's say there is a foul smell, and it Yeshlo Iker, and there's a source of that smell. So in other words, there, for example, simple example, there's a piece of excrement, and on top of that, it's producing a bad smell. So, and by the way, that certainly would now seem to indicate, now the Gemara is asking this question, the previous question is talking about where there was no smell. So anyway, so Reach Rashi Yeshlo Iker, Rav Huna Amar Machik Dal Amos V'kar Kriyashma, Rav Chista Amar Machik Dal Amos Memakom Shepasak HaReach V'kar Kriyashma. So again, Rav Huna and Rav Chista are debating, and again, Rav Huna takes a more lenient position over here, and that is, you just have to be 4 Amos away from the source. Now, it's a little bit strange, Rav Huna's position. You have to be 4 Amos away from the source, even though you could still smell it. That is a strange position to try to understand and explain. But okay, but Rav Huna's more makel. And Rav Chista says, no, you have to be 4 Amos away from where you last smell it. So, Marchik Adala Amos Mimakum Shepasak HaReach V'Kar Kriyashma. Tanya Kavasi to Rav Chista, the Gemara now is going to quote a brisa supporting Rav Chista. The brisa says, Lo Yikari Adam Kriyashma Lo Keneged Tzoas V'Lo Keneged Tzoas Kolavim. Sorry. Lo keneged tzoas adam, not against human excrement, velo keneged tzoas kolavim, not against dog excrement, velo keneged tzoas chazirim, pig excrement, velo keneged tzoas tarnagolim, chicken excrement, velo keneged tzoas ashpa, shereach ra, and not by any kind of garbage pile where the smell is very foul. V'yimayamokim gavo asar tfachim, unamoch asar tfachim, yoshe betzira v'kor kriyashma. Now, if you are in a area that is either higher or lower than 10 tefachim than that area, so it's considered now a different reshus, and so therefore you're allowed to say kriyashma. V'im lav marchik malo einav. Now, otherwise you have to be how far away? Malo einav, at a point where you basically don't see it anymore. V'chein letfila. And the same thing is true regarding tefila as well. Reich rashi esh la'ikar. Now, if there is a foul smell and it has a source to it, marchik dal amos mimokam ha'reach v'kar kriyashma. So the Braisa says that you have to distance yourself from the Makam HaReach, and 4 Amos away from the Makam HaReach, and you say Kriyashma. This Braisa certainly is in agreement with Rav Chista. Rav Chista, I'll say it the historically correct way. Rav Chista is in agreement with this Braisa, and the Braisa is teaching us that it's not enough to just simply move away from the source, but move away from the smell. Am Rav Leisilchasoke Amas Nisa. Elaki Haditanya. Now, Rava says that the halacha does not follow like this brisa. Which this brisa are we referring to? Take a look at Rashi over here. Leisilchus akehamas nisa. Rashi writes, "Dela'el da'asur tzoas kolavim v'chazirim b'she'in b'hem oros." So Rashi says that we're not the brisa that we are about to quote, which is against the previous brisa. It's not talking about the Rav Huna Rav Chista debate regarding having to be 4 Amos away from the smell. That presumably, that's a machlokus. And the brisa supports Rav Chista, and we leave that alone. But in terms of going back to the excrement of the animals, so the Gemara over here now is going to quote a brisa that's going to give a slightly different viewpoint regarding animal excrement. The brisa now, the Eli Kiad, the time of the Gemara quotes the following brisa. Lo yikare adam kriyashma, lo keneged tzoas adam, lo keneged tzoas chazirim, lo keneged tzoas kolavim, bizman shenasan oros lesochan. The brisa talks about not saying kriyashma in the presence of excrements of humans and animals. And then the brisa at the end says, at a time where the oros were put in them. Oros over here hides. What does hides have to do with anything? So once again, we turn back to Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Bizman Sheish Bam Oros, Atzoros Kolam the Chazirim Kai. So Rashi says that the hide that we're talking about over here is in conjunction, in relationship to the excrement of the animals. Shedarkan Lisitam Be'ibud Ha'oros. Rashi writes that it was common practice back in the day is that in terms of the tanning of the hides, so they would use animal excrements as part of the chemical processing of the hides. We have seen throughout Shas this idea that the tanners are a smelly business. And now, after having learned brachos, daf chafei, now you know why. So basically, it was involved as part of the chemical processing of the hides. So you use animal excrement. So when it comes to humans, that has nothing to do. Human excrement was not used in the processing of the animal hides. Only the animal excrements.
So the oils increase the smell?
Apparently.
That's what it is.
Apparently, yeah. Abamine may rav sheshes reich rasha'in lo ikar mahu. Okay, so we discussed and debated now the foul odor that has a source. What if it's a foul odor that does not have a source? So amalu asu chazi hanitzipa de beirav. So he says, well, look, an odor that doesn't have a source. So if you go into any boy's yeshiva, I know it's funny. It's honestly simple pshat of the Gemara. You go to any boy's yeshiva and you go to anyone's dorm room and you get a good smell over there. Now there's no source of the smell. It just happens to be. I know. right? It just happens to be that's just simply. It's the wonderful odor that's produced by young adults. Okay, so chani chazi tzipa de bei rav. To be understood over here is like kind of like the mats of the bnei hayeshiva. So the hanugana v'hanugar say so they lie down over there and they're learning over there. And so basically the Gemara's answer is, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that you can't learn in a foul smelling area? So then a boy's yeshiva, there can be no learning done in the boy's yeshiva. Again, I know the Gemara is funny, but it's making a both funny point and a serious point at the very same time. Bahani mili b'divrei Torah. Now the Gemara says, now as far as being makel, so we're going to be makel by divrei Torah. And as Rashi points, I'll get to the Rashi in just a moment. Aval b'kriya shma lo, but not by kriya shma. V'divrei Torah nami lo amar ne'ela dechavrei aval didei lo. And the Gemara says, now as far as being makel is concerned, that's only regarding your friend's foul odor, but not your own. Your self-produced foul odor. Now Rashi over here says hani mile the hani mile girsay. So mishum de lo efshar, right? Rashi's girsay is a little bit different than ours. Ours is divrei Torah. But either way, in other words, Rashi says, look, there's going to be a leniency. In other words, you're in the yeshiva and you're amongst other boys, and look, just in other words, body odor. It comes off. There's no excrement. There's no tzoa. So lo efshar, meaning we're not b'nei malachim, we're human beings. This is who we are, and this is the smell that sometimes that comes out of us. And so therefore, ein breira. There just simply isn't a choice. You're gonna continue learning, and so therefore the chachamim were mekel under such circumstances. For kriyashma, on the other hand, so there you can walk out for a minute. In other words, you're going to step out of the dorm, you're going to step out of the base medrash. Not exactly clear where you're going to go, but you'll step out. And for that, for the 2 minutes that it takes to say Kriya Shema, so there we're gonna be machmer. But for the rest of the day and for learning, like in other words, what choice do you have? Itmar, continuing in the Gemara halfway down, Chafei Amud Aleph, Tsoas Overes. So let's say it is excrement, but it is just simply passing through. So in other words, whatever it's right now currently in transport. Someone's taking out the garbage and passing it right in front of you. The garbage truck is running, is going by you, but it's overus, it's passing by. So Abaye Amar Mutar L'Kros Kriya Shma, Rav Amar Asur L'Kros Kriya Shma. And so the Gemara now has a debate of Amoraim. Here it happens not to be Rav Huna and Rav Chista, but a debate between Rav and Abaye in terms of whether or not one would be allowed to say Kriya Shma, and what's the argument over here, what's the consideration? Overus, it's passing through. And the Gemara over here goes and gives explanations for the positions. Amar Abaye Menamin Allah Didna, so Abaye says, look, I'm going to support my position based on a halacha. Now, it is interesting and curious and slightly difficult because the source of his the proof is going to come from a halacha that has to do with tumah and saras, and it's kind of hard to understand like how you can bounce from that halacha, which we're about to learn, to our halacha regarding a smell that happens to be passing by. Anyway, the halacha is, we're going to see it over here, it's a mishnah in Negayim. And it also happens to come up in the Gemara and Kedushin as well. Hatamei, omei tachas ha'ilam. We're talking about someone who's a mitzora. And he's standing under a tree. So in other words, we know that the tumat saras follows, patterns itself after the tumah of a mace. So the tumah of a mace is going to create a tumas ohel. And the mitzora also, right? Mitzora doma kemace. And mitzora also is going to create a tumas ohel. But the mitzora is obviously has a slight difference than that of a mace. A mace is in that it doesn't move. A mitzora, obviously being a live person, has the ability to move. The only way he gives off tumas ohel is only if it's in a stationary position. And so therefore, atame omei tachas ilan v'atar over tame. So the person who's tahor walking under the branch shared by the mitzora, and the mitzora is currently stationary, so the tumah now is transmitted from the mitzora to the non-mitzora. Tahor omei tachas ilan v'tame over tahor. Now, if the person who's tahor is standing under the branch and a mitzora is walking through, so he's not stationary and therefore there's no tumas ohel. That's the halacha. V'im ama tame. However, if he stops under the branch, so now the tumah is transmitted. And the same thing is true regarding a stone that is a tzaras stone, meaning the same halachas of stationary versus motion. And Rava Amalacha, now that's the proof for Abaye. So Abaye says, what do you see from here? You see from here that when something is in motion and not stationary, so therefore it doesn't give off tumah. And again, I'm admitting readily that it's difficult to understand Abaye's position. What does one halacha have to do with the other halacha? We're talking about the cleanly state that one has to be in when saying Shema, and the garbage truck is just passing through. All right, but if you're smelling it, it's hard to understand how you could take a halacha that is true by tzaras and simply apply it over to cleanliness. And basically, that's Rava's point. Rava amalacha hasam b'kviyusa talya mosa. Dichsiv badad yeshiv mechot samachaneh moshavo. There, when it comes to tzaras, the reason why the tumah is going to be transmitted is simply a function of, that's what the Torah says. Badad yeshiv mechot samachaneh moshavo. You are in a position of yeshiva, stationary. But hachavaya machanecha kadosh amarachman v'haleka. But over here, in terms of saying Shema, so Machanechi Yekadosh, the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitseh, where it speaks to the idea that you're going to go and relieve yourself outside the camp. You don't want to make the camp dirty, and that and lacks kedusha, and you're not allowed to say Dvarim Chippa Kedusha when the camp is dirty, and that's why you have to go outside. And so over here, the garbage is passing you by, and the smell is foul. You simply can't say Shema. So it's difficult to understand Abaye's argument. And Rava, in fact, dismisses it. Amar Papa Pi Chazir Ketzoros Over Zami. So the mouth of a pig, we're going to treat that as excrement that's passing through. So Pshita, the Gemara says, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? Meaning, the pig's mouth is filth, and right, he's in the garbage all the time, it's filth, and the pig is moving, so it's so overus. Okay, and we just saw the machlokas between Rava and Abaye, but it's the same halacha. And the Gemara says, Pshita, I think it's kind of obvious. Why do you need to tell me that? So lo tzricha afagav desalk minahara. The Gemara says, well, let's say the pig was just drinking from a spring, from a river, and so therefore you could make the argument that okay, it cleaned up his mouth. And the Gemara says the chiddush is it didn't clean up his mouth. It's still filth. I'm reviewed a suffix so asura suffix may raglai mutarim. Okay, the Gemara now wants to know whether or not you could say kriya shma, daven, learn Torah in a case of suffix. And the Gemara is going to make a difference over here between excrement and urine. So by suffix soa, it's going to be usr. By suffix me raglaim, it's going to be mutter. Why such a distinction? Amar Rabbi Yehuda suffix soa bebeis muteres. Ba'ashma asura. Suffix me raglaim, afilo ba'ashma nami mutarim. Now, before we give a distinction, the Gemara has a slightly different version of this halacha said over in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. And that is that if it's a questionable soa excrement in the house, it will be mutter. If it's out in the ashpa, the dung, the garbage pile, so then we're going to be machmer. And suffik me raglayim, and if it's a question of urine, meaning it's suffik, we're not sure, so then afil ba'ashpa nami mutar, we're going to be more mako. Okay, in both versions, we are more apt to be makel by suffik meiragohim than we are by suffik tsoa. So the Gemara says, okay, and this goes in line with the halacha of Rav Hamnuna. Meaning, look, we are clearly talking, describing today, not being able to say Shema or learn in front of excrement. Or I should say better, in front of waste. When we talk about that, is the Torah more makpid regarding excrement or urine? And the Gemara says excrement. In fact, when it comes to urine, min ha-Torah, the only thing that would impede a person from saying Shema is only when the urine is actually coming out, right? And that's what Rav Hamnuna teaches. Lo asra Torah ela keneged amud vavad. Only as the urine is leaving, then, and only then there's an Isra Torah of engaging in Torah. Uched Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Yonasan Ramiksiv, Yatiye Elecha Michutz HaMachaneh, V'yata Shama, Chutz, Ukse, one pasuk describes that you're going to create an area outside, a designated area outside, and there you're going to go. And another pasuk talks about how you're going to be covering the waste coming out of you. Now, one pasuk sounds like it's only as it's leaving it's going to be also, and the other pasuk sounds like that even after it left, you have to cover it. So the Gemara says the distinction is between Gedolim and Ketanim. Gedolim a reference to excrement. Ketanim a reference to urine. And so therefore, when it comes to urine, only as it's leaving is it going to be Asur. But when it comes to excrement, even after it left, it's still going to be Asur to say Torah. Amal Ketanim lo Asur Torah lekeneged amud bilvad. And so this is a proof that when it comes to the Ketanim, to the urine, it's only going to be Asur as it's leaving. Ha nafal arashari. V'rabanu de gazrabe. Now, when it hits the ground, so now it's mutter. Min ha Torah. But the Chachamim said, you know what? There's urine right in front of you. They're going to make a gzera. Good. So the Chachamim made a gzera. V'chi gazer be rabbanan bevadan ava besafik lo gazer. Now, as far as the gzera is concerned, that's only when it's definitively there. If, however, let's say it's a safik, you're simply not sure, so then lo gazer, you don't have to make any type of gzera. Okay. Halach lamaisa, by the way, comes up all the time when you have young children around the house, right? Very young children. So they're walking around with diapers, and now there may be discoveries made in that diaper. And under those circumstances, that now would be a case of suffix, meaning you don't know right now, and it would obviously be a case of suffix. So if it's we're talking about gedolim, you have to be machmir. If it's talking about ketanim, you can be mako. Okay, so it plays out a lot halach lemaisa. Uvevadan ad kama. Now, if you know definitively, so up until one point in time, I'm reviewing a mashmo kozman shemat pichin. Okay, so as far as the urine is concerned, so how much of a remnant of the urine does there need to be in order for you not to say Shema? So kozman shemat pichin, as long as it's still moist. V'chein amar Rav Abba, v'chein amar Rav Yochanan kozman shemat pichin, v'chein amar Ula kozman shemat pichin. And numerous amaraim are in agreement with this position that as long as it is moist. Gneva mishmei derav amar kozman sherishumam nikar. Now, Geneva, it's a name that we see occasionally throughout Shas. It's a funny name. It's a curious name. But but he says in the name of Rav, Kozman Sherishuma Nikar. Now, this measurement is that as long as you could basically make out that there was urine in that area, even if it's not moist. I'm Rav Yosef Sharalei Marele Geneva. And Rav Yosef's reaction, his comment is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should please forgive Geneva for that position. You know, when it comes to the actual excrement itself, which we already established, we're going to be more machmir. The Torah prohibits excrement even after it emerges from the person. And there, if the excrement gets hardened, if it starts solidifying, so then we're going to be makel. And now by urine, you're going to be machmir by urine? So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, that position of Geneva is really difficult to understand. Amalei Abai, my chazit is smachtaha, smachaha. So Abai says to Rava, Abai says to Rav Yosef, well, why don't you rely yourself on the following position? Da'amar Rava barahuna amar Rav tsoa afil kecheres asura. So if the tsoa is so hard, it is gotten to the point where it's as solid as an earthenware jug, it's still going to be usur. It's so hard that you throw it and it doesn't fall apart. V'ikadarmi kol zman shegolaveinu nefreches. Or in another version, you roll it and it doesn't fall apart. Okay, so in other words, so you see that even as it relates to tsoah, there are also going to be various opinions in terms of when the tsoah still retains its status of tsoah. And if we go with this more recently cited opinion, so that means then that we're going to be machmer by tsoah, and therefore there's room to be machmer by urine as well. I'm Ravina Havakaim Nekame de Rav Yehuda, Midifte Chazet Tsoah. So I was by Rav Yehuda Midifte, and we saw excrement. Amrli Ayin Ikama Panei Lo. And he says, in terms of gauging whether or not it has the status of Tsoah, so just simply, as long as the surface level of it is crusted over, so then it doesn't have the status of Tsoah. So Igadarmi Hachi Amrli Ayin I Mafle Apluye. See if it has cracks in it. And that gives a sense that it's dried, and therefore it doesn't have any status anymore. My havi Allah. So, back and forth. And you'll see this all the time throughout the Gemara. After back and forth in terms of when it has status, when it doesn't have status. So now the Gemara wants to say, okay, right, gentlemen, let's arrive at a conclusion over here. So, my havi Allah. And usually what happens after you hear the words my havi Allah is that the Gemara now is going to give a definitive position. This is not going to be one of those times. The Gemara, after saying my havi Allah, the Gemara then just launches back into more discussion and more deliberation. So it's kind of like, my havi Allah, it's kind of like to try to get everyone's attention to, let's see if we conclude. It happens to be, on this particular Gemara, the Gemara is going to have a difficult time concluding. Itmar tsoas kecheres. So the Gemara says, if I have excrement, that it got so hard, that it's the hard, it's as solid as an earthenware jug, so Amemar and Marzur, Marzutra and Marmuteris. So it's a machlokis amaraim between Amemar and Marzutra, Amemar being more machmir.
You don't have to move 4 amos away.
No. Yeah. If you subscribe to the sheet of Marzutra. Amar Rava Hilchazatsoa Kecheres Asura, Omei Reglaim Kozman Shematpichim. So Rava says, as far as the halach is concerned, so if the tsoa is Kecheres Asura, so even if it's as hard as Cheres, it's going to be Asur when it comes to the Mei Reglaim. As long as it is still moist, the area in which the person urinated is still moist, that's going to be asur. Meisve, the Gemara is going to challenge. May reglaim kol zman shematpich and asurin. We have a brisa regarding urine. As long as it is moist, it's going to be asur. Nivlu'u o yavshu mutarin. If it absorbs into the ground or it's totally dried, so it's going to be mutar. So my love nivlu domi di yavshu. Now, two adjectives describing the time that's mutar. Either it absorbs or it dries. So, my love nivlu domi de yafshu. My yafshu de'in rishuma nikar. Af nivlu de'in rishuma nikar. So the Gemara says, well, we know that if it dried, so obviously you can't identify it anymore. And so then when we say nivlu, it absorbs into the ground to the point where I can't even see the urine anymore. It is so embedded in the ground. So the Gemara says, harishuma nikar asur. Afagav de'in matpichin. So now, if this is the way we're going to read the brisa, so that means that as long as the area still shows indications that someone urinated there, even though it's no longer moist, it's going to be an area that's asur. That would be the conclusion. So the Gemara says, l'tamechem ereisha. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go back to the brisa and read the first half of the brisa. Kol zman shematpichin hu da'asur. Harishumem nikar sharei. The beginning of the brisa says, as long as it's moist, it's going to be asur, which the contrast to that would be, well, if it's not moist anymore, though you could tell that this is an area that someone urinated, it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, okay. So from the Braisa, we don't have any clear indication of what would the halacha be by Rishum HaMnikar. We have conflicting inferences. The Gemara now says, perhaps it's a machlokis tonight. You have a jar where there was urine. It spilled. You can't say Kriyashma in that area. Now, if it absorbs into the area, into the ground, that's fine. Otherwise, it's not fine. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Kozman Shematpichin. So, and Rabbi Yossi says, as long as the area is moist, it's Asr. If the area is no longer moist, it's Mutter. So, my Nivlu, my Lo Nivlu. And here we go again. I'm not sure what round we're up to. But this is a long, drawn-out fight. So when we say absorbed into the ground, what do we mean? So are we talking about where it absorbs into the ground and it's no longer moist? Versus where it's absorbed in the ground and it's still moist. So and then Rav Yossi says, well, if it's moist, it's asr. And if the it's no longer moist, it's going to be mutter. Hainu tana kama. So the Gemara says, if this is the way we're going to explain the machlokas, there's no machlokas. Then Rav Yossi and the Tana Kama are in agreement. And again, we know just by the structure of the Braisa that they're arguing. So Ela Nivlu Din Rishumanikar. Lo Nivlu Rishumanikar. So Tana Kama is saying that Nivlu means it totally absorbs into the ground. You can't even tell that someone urinated in that area. That's the Tana Kama. Vasa Rav Yossi Lamemer, Kos Mashamat Pichanu Dasar Harishumanikar Share. And Rav Yossi would say that no. As long as it is moist, it's going to be asr. But if it's not moist, even though you could tell that someone urinated there over there, it's going to be mutter. This is right now the way the Gemara wants to set up the machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rav Yossi. And the Gemara says, you don't have to say that low. Here's how we could say the Braisa. We could say the Braisa over that. If it's not moist, everyone's in agreement, it's going to be mutter. Everyone will agree. Even though you can tell that someone urinated over there. But if it's dry, it's going to be mutter. But there is a machlokas, as we now turn to the Amud Beis. The difference between the shitas of the Tana Kama and Rav Yossi is the degree of moistness. When we talk about something being wet, so how wet does something have to be? A damp towel. So you put your finger on it. You could feel that it's moist. You take your finger off. Is there any drops on your finger? So that is tofech shelo amanas latfiach. If, however, it's so moist that when you put your hand on the damp towel, so you take your hand off and you see drops of moisture on your finger, that's tofech amanas latfiach. And so what the machlokis over here, it's really subtle, between the Tana Kama and Rav Yossi is, what is the definition of moist?
Rav Yossi's machlok.
And, that's the way Rashi says it. Rashi says that Rav Yossi being the more machmir shita. Okay. That was after the Mayhavi Allah. Okay. All right. So, obviously, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the area, the necessity for the area to be clean in order for you to say Shema, Kriya Shema and to Davin, and a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the definition of what is considered. When is excrement no longer considered excrement? When is urine no longer considered urine vis-a-vis these statuses? Yarlidbom yachol alos lematanastama karebi Eliezer. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah. So it's been a while, but the Mishnah taught us that if you're toveling in the mikvah in the morning, as long as you can get up from the mikvah and cover yourself and say Shema by sunrise, so then you're good. Now, we made this comment when we learned the Mishnah. The Gemara now makes the comment. More significant that the Gemara made the comment, and that is who is the Mishnah subscribing to? Whose opinion? Because you remember when it comes to saying Shema, you have two opinions that we learned in the first parak. One is you have up until sunrise. Two is you have 3 hours in the day. And when our Mishnah says that the time that you should be getting out of the mikvah to say Shema is sunrise, so ostensibly our Mishnah is following like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's the Gemara's point. Lematana samaka Rabbi Eliezer damar adan etzachama. So it sounds like our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Afilu tem Rabbi Yeshua, v'dilma kevasikin, d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'tikin ayugomer maso, iman etzachama. No. It could be that our Mishnah really does subscribe to the Chachamim. You really do have 3 hours into the day, but even according to the Chachamim, there's an optimal time to say Shema. And our Mishnah is just looking at vasikin over here, not as a deadline, but just simply as an optimal time to say Shema. Im lav yiskasa b'mayim v'yikari, v'ari libo rosa erva. Okay, we get back to a topic that has been a pretty constant theme throughout these Dapim of Gemara, and that is there needs to be separation of you and the Erva. But we say you, which part of you are we talking about? So Einayim Roasa Erva, that's a non-starter. In other words, your eyes cannot see your Erva. Okay, so in other words, when we're wearing clothing, that's good. But here we're talking about in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, good. So what you'll do is you'll submerge your body in the mikvah. Obviously, your head will be above water, right? As I already pointed out, challenging to say Shema when your head is below the water. Okay. So your head is above water. So good. So now where's the separation between your eyes and your erva? Fine. So the Gemara says, but libo roas erva. Isn't your heart going to see your erva? So Amar Rav Elazar v'item Rabbi Acha bar Abba bar Rabbi Acha bar Abba bar Acha Mishum Ravina, Mishum Rabbeinu, Bamai Machurim Shanu, Didamu Karas Michta, Shlo Yira Libo Arvasa. Okay, the water's dirty. Okay, it's happened, right? I've gone into a mikvah where the water's not that clean, and so therefore, it's like Aras Michta. It's like being in the ground. Okay, it's powerful imagery. So it's like being in the ground, and so therefore your heart does not see your erva because the water is so cloudy. We could say that as pshat, and so therefore we satisfy the obligation of creating separation not between only a naim and erva, but also liba and erva as well. Tana rabbanan mayim tzulim yashav behem ad tzavaro v'kore v'yesh omrim ochra baragla. So we have a brisa. The brisa says that if it's clear water, so what you're going to do, and you want to say the Shema in the water, is you go up to your neck, or you submerge to your neck, and you say Shema. Now, according to the Yesh Omrim, Ochron Beraglo, try to make the water dirty, right? Just slide your feet back and forth on the ground, and get the water good and dirty. Tanakama Vari Liberos Erva. So according to the Tanakama, if the water is clear, isn't there now no longer separation between Lev and Erva? So Kasever Liberos Erva Motor. So the Gemara says, okay, and obviously the Tanakam is of the opinion, that's not a big deal. As we already pointed out earlier, a couple dapim ago, the issue of Libo Ros Erva is a point of controversy. Not everyone's in agreement that there has to be separation between Lev and Erva. Between Einaim and Erva, everyone's in agreement. But between Lev and Erva, it's debatable. And the author of this Bryce of the Tanakama doesn't subscribe to the view that there has to be separation between Lev and Erva. Huh? Yeah, but the closing your eyes is not gonna help regarding Lev and Erva. Okay, fine. Vare akvoro is Erva. So the Gemara says, okay, now the ache of the heel is gonna see as Erva. Now when the Gemara here talks about ache of the heel, it really means other parts of your body. Meaning that your Erva now is going to be exposed. Kasavar akvoro is Erva mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, and the author of the Brisa is not bothered by that as well. Itmar akvoro is Erva mutter nogea. Sorry. Akva Ros Erva Mutter. So here now the Gemara is going to quote a machlokus regarding this very issue. So if you have body parts seeing your erva, so in other words, there is a line of sight between your erva and other body parts, so mutter. That in and of itself is fine. No geya. But what if the erva is coming to contact with your body parts? So Abaya Ma'asa Rava Mar Mutter. So here we have a machlokus between Abaya and Rava. Now, Rav Zvid, Masni La La Hashmaita Hachi, Rav Chinan Abar, Bereder of Ika, Masni La Hachi. Now, in a slightly modified version of this machlokus, it goes like this. Nogea divrei akol asur. That if there is negia between the body parts in your erva, right? In other words, you contort your body in such a way, you're sitting Indian style, let's say you're not wearing underwear, and there's just simply contact between your erva and your leg. So, according to the second version, divrei akol asur. Roeh, and the debate over here is where there's a line of sight between your erva and body part. Abaya amar asur rav amar mutter. So, lo... Abaya Amar Asa Rava Amar Motor. Lo Nina Torla Malachi Hashares. And in terms of defending the position of Rava, so imagine how difficult a position it would be to make sure that your erva is going to be totally covered to the point where it doesn't even have a line of sight with any other part of your body. That's a really difficult position to hold, like, as long as we're human beings. And we're human beings. And Lo Nina Torla Malachi Hashares. V'hilchasa. Now we have two versions of this machlokis. The Gemara concludes, Nogea Aser, Roe Mutter. So if there is contact between any body part and the erva, your own erva, so then it would be Aser. You cannot say Kriya Shema under those circumstances. Roe, however, it would be Mutter. Amar Rav Tzoa Bashashis Mutter Lekros Kriya Shema Kenegda. We'll do a little bit more this morning. We'll get to the two dots. If there is Tzoa Bashashis, so in other words, there is excrement, but it's in a glass jar. So you could see it, but that's it. You can't smell it, and it's covered. So mutar kreshma kenegda erva bashashis also the kros kreshma kenegda. So, but if there's erva behind glass, that's not going to help you. In other words, you will not be in a position to say Shema. And the Gemara explains the difference. The difference is pretty intuitive. The Gemara spells it. So bashashis mutar kros kreshma kenegda the Torah bekisu italim milsa. Because when it comes to Torah, what does the Torah demand? Coverage, and you have it. Veha michse. But erva bashashis also the kros kriyash makenegda v'lo yira becha erva's davar amarchmana v'hakimis chazei. But when it comes to erva, so the issue is not coverage. The issue is vision and visibility, and you have that over here, and therefore it's a problem. Amar abayit soa kol shehu mevatla barok. So if there is a little bit of excrement, there is a way of being mevatla the excrement, and that is with rok, with saliva. Amar avo barok ava. It's got to be thick saliva. Amar avo soa beguma miniach sandalo alav kor kriyash ma. If let's say the soa is in a in some sort of hole. You put your foot right over it, and you can say Kriya Shema. Mar Bere Duravina. So Devuka Besandala Mai. What if it's on the bottom of your shoe? So take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. I'm Rav Yehuda. Alkam Arum Asal Akros Kriya Shema Kenegdo. If let's say you have a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is not properly clothed, and there's everything exposed, so you cannot say Kriya Shema. So my Yiri Alkam Afili Yisrael Nami. So the Gemara says there's the Chiddush over there, meaning what difference would there be? So Yisrael Pshita Le Da Aser El Alkam Itzrichle. The Gemara says there's a Chiddush because you would have had a Havamina. Now we're just articulating a Havamina, but still, even as a Havamina, here's what I might have thought. So Ma'u Dete Mahovik Siv Be Asher Basar Chamarim Basaram. Right, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel. See on this, the Gemara in Yevamos also quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel. And see, there's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which I'm not going to go over right now, but a super interesting sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. It's quoted in Sanhedrin. It's quoted in the beginning of Ksuvos regarding what to do with this pasuk. But anyway, Ema kechamor ba'amahu. So the Gemara is a hava, meaning we think that, okay, maybe it doesn't have the status of erva. Meaning it's like an animal. But obviously by an animal, there is no need to cover the erva of an animal in order for you to say Shema. So I might have thought the same thing as well. I would have entertained it. So Kamash Malan, di inunami ikre erva dechsiv erva saviyam lo ra'u. No, it has the status of erva, right, by Noach. So they didn't see the erva of their father. In other words, it's erva. And so therefore, it has to be covered.
He wasn't Jewish.
Okay, and right. It goes to say he was not Jewish. Okay. Let's recap. There was just a lot of words in today's daf. Tomorrow I get a little bit of a reprieve. In today's daf, so we talked about saying over Torah while walking through dirty places. Right? Rav Yochanan was Mekel. Other Amoraim were not as Mekel. That was our first discussion today. Okay. And then a lot of smaller discussions. Smaller meaning just in terms of real estate in the Gemara. Right? For Shema, you only have to have your bottom half of your body covered. For men, you could have the top part of your body exposed. Obviously, it's not the best, but in terms of Shema, you just simply need the erva covered and separation between Lev and erva and Naim and erva. But for Tefillah, for Shmoneh Esrei, so you have to be dressed appropriately for Shmoneh Esrei because, as we learned, Rashi today, that's dialoguing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We talked this morning about accidentally going into the bathroom with your tefillin on and what should you do over there. And on one hand, the tension between you shouldn't have done that, and obviously you want to take off your tefillin as quickly as possible. On the other hand, to stop yourself mid-relieving yourself, that creates a sakana, and so that's an issue. Having a hand in the bathroom or a piece of excrement on you that doesn't smell, is that going to impede you from saying Shema and learning Torah? Machlokas also over there. A big discussion in the Gemara regarding Reach Sheish Lo Iker. Let's say it's a foul smell, and it has a source to it. How far do you have to go away from either the source or the smell? That also served as a machlokas today. A lengthy discussion in today's daf regarding urine and excrement in terms of what is the Issur Torah regarding excrement, what is the Issur Torah regarding urine. By urine, it's only as it's exiting your body. When it comes to excrement, even after it emerges from your body, there's an Issur Torah. At what point does the urine and the excrement lose its status? A major part of today's daf that took us all the way to the bottom of the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, we talked about the time of Shema again. Mishnah seems to be going like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says not necessarily. We continued in terms of, again, the revisiting of the topic of what there needs to be a separation between your eyes and your erva. That everyone agrees to. Your heart and your erva, that is subject to a machlokas. And finally, last topic that we covered today is if the tzoa is covered, so then mutar l'kros kriya Shema. If the erva is covered, but you could still see the erva, like a glass covering, then it's going to be aser. In other words, the impetus of blocking tzoa versus blocking erva are not the same. Tzoa, kisui. Erva, ri'iyah.